Welcome to Who's Talking. This is DG Martin. Where do you want to go back in time? Back to 1962, to the time of the TV teenage pop programs Dance and Sing? Well, the Playmakers, together with a group of young area actors who are young and who live around here, are going to be a part, and who are part of the Summer Youth Conservancy, are going to take us back there. And I want to welcome, first of all, the directors of the production. Many Playmakers fans are familiar with both of them. Desdemona Chang, who is the director of Hairspray. Did I get that right, Desdemona?
Yeah, thank you.
And then Matt Steffens is the associate director and also the choreographic, which means dance and singing.
It means that I am putting up the dance elements of the show, so choreographing the musical numbers, and there's a lot of dance in this show. So it's in the audience, on the stage, it's everywhere. It's a real fun time.
Well, Desdemona, you're not a stranger to Chapel Hill.
No, I'm not. I was here as a directing fellow in 2012. I worked with Joe Hodge on the reproduction of Henry IV and Henry V. So it's good to be back.
Well, does it bring back nightmares to try and coordinate those two big plays?
It was a blast. It was for sure a really heavy workload, but it was so rewarding and so much fun. And I know, and much like this, big cast, a lot of energy.
You come to us from living in San Francisco. What are you doing out there?
I'm a freelance director. I work in San
Francisco. You're a what?
A freelance director.
I thought you said a finance director.
I wish. I'd make money that way, wouldn't I?
I don't know. I'm not sure these days.
I'm a freelance director. I work mostly on the West Coast, out of San Francisco, Seattle, and I also live in Ashland, Oregon, with the Shakespeare Festival as well.
So you live, what do you consider to be your home base?
My home is between Seattle and Ashland.
Okay, travel to San Francisco?
I travel to Chapel Hill.
And other places to do this. Well, Joe Hodge says you're fantastic. I think he's got his eye on you. Maybe he would hope that you might sometime spend more time in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, I'm actually back next year in 2015. I'm doing 4,000 miles in their 2015 season, which is their closer, out in, I think, April in 2015. I'll be back.
Well, Matt, how about you? You're a stranger. You're not a stranger, is what I meant to say.
Well, I am a stranger to Chapel Hill. This is my first time on Chapel Hill for an extended time. I spent a lot of time in Virginia. I went to the University of Virginia. No, don't hate me because of that. But
we have a lot of connections with our newer public university.
But I live up in New York, and so it's nice to be down here. I spend most of my time in New York City and working in the Broadway community, and it's nice to have a nice break and to come down here and get away from the concrete city up there.
Well, Joe Hodge brings incredible talent to Chapel Hill, and we always wonder how he finds them. How did he find you?
He actually found me through Jenny Wales, who is the director of the program. Her and I went to college together, so we have known each other for 20 years. And this is actually the first time that we have worked with each other since our senior year of college. So we worked with each other in, I think, 98 was our last time we were working together. And we've stayed connected, and she knows that I choreograph stuff up in New York and throughout the country. And she asked me to come down, and I feel blessed to work with Des.
It's a really
fun team, and we've got a talented group this year. It's a great group of actors.
Well, I want you all to tell us about the play, Hairspray. But first, can you give a brief introduction to the program itself? It's still, in quotes, a new program, and something that's got many of us really excited about, having the Playmakers out working in the community, doing more than just providing for us great productions, but stirring up the talent that we've got among young people here.
Yeah, I think, we'll do our best to fill in the gaps. I think Jenny would know more about this, but I want to say this is in their sixth year, the Summer Youth Conservatory, and it's essentially a program that is sort of a sub-branch of the Playmakers producing arm, and the intent is to bring a professional experience to rising young actors, performers, singers, dancers. And the idea is that we cast an ensemble and I think it's been a musical every summer, and we give them a professional experience, which means, professional hours, professional workload, and professional directors, designers, choreographers, musicians, et cetera. So the idea is that we're essentially taking them and we're putting them into this, if they were to pursue a career in the arts, this is what it would be like for them.
And we hope that it's, you know, maybe a little bit different than all the other productions that they have done in the past, because Des and I really do approach it from a professional level. When we came down to audition, I didn't water down the choreography from what I would do if I put this up in New York. And I think, you know, we challenge all the kids throughout the program. And not only, you know, we're rehearsing all day, but a lot of the rehearsing is also teaching them not only lessons about life in the theater, but I think about just life in general. You know, especially with Hairspray, we've talked a lot about, you know, social issues currently and in the 1960s. So, you know, I think that we're trying to make them better artists and people, you know, so that they get some payoff at the end of the program.
Well, in just a minute, we're going to get to meet some of the young artists that you've been working with. But first of all, Desmond, would you tell us a little bit about Hairspray itself and pretend that we don't know anything about it?
Sure. This is kind of the pretext for all this, is that for those of you who do or do not know the 1988 John Waters film, the musical is based on that particular film.
So this was a musical based on a film.
Yes.
Rather than
yes,
the other
it
way
was
around.
A it was a film that became a musical that became a film again. which is a trend I think has been happening in several pieces. But the original film, the story of the film, which is also the story of the musical, takes place in Baltimore in 1962. It's a story about a young woman named Tracy Turnblad, who is a high school student at Patterson Park High School, and her dream is to become a dancer on the Corny Collins show. She's incredibly talented, incredibly smart, and the only thing standing in her way is her body weight. Right?
She's a little bit.
She's too fat for the show.
Round
too
fat for the show. She's rotund.
She's a great dancer. We see this sometimes, and it's remarkable when you do see a person carrying a lot more weight than you'd expect from a dancer.
Right.
And they've got all the moves.
And they have all the moves, all the energy, all the talent, everything except that she fails to stand up to whatever beauty images, standards of beauty, perceptions of what is normal, perceptions of what is pretty. And she's not blonde enough. She's not thin enough. But aside from all those socially prescribed things, she's actually quite capable and quite good at what she does. So she auditions for the show. She gets rejected from the show. And one day in detention, she meets a group of young black kids dancing in detention. And they, too, have all the moves, all the skills, all the talent and the intelligence, but for the fact they're the wrong race.
So in the early 1960s in Baltimore, southern town, it's not an integrated program.
Right. And so TV at the time, the 1960s teenage dance shows were a huge hit in the community, but they were not integrated. And for one day a month, they would have Negro Day, which is the day that all the black kids got to dance on TV, but they were not dancing with the white kids together. And so the story is about how these two groups come together and essentially break through some significant social barriers.
And the show is based on the Buddy Dean Show, which was a show in Baltimore in the early 60s, which did integrate during the time and kind of set the standard for, you know, integration on television. So it's based out of fact, though it's not a nonfiction.
Well, folks who are my age, we would remember how that transformation took place mostly during the 1960s, mm-hmm. where it was a prohibition to begin with, and yeah. by the time you got to the end, we might have other challenges in race relations. But everybody said we got to bring that talent
right.
to the air. Yeah,
and the musical has all of the great songs that the movie that was made after it with John Travolta and Zac Efron, like, which has a lot of great songs like "You Can't Stop the Beat" and "Good Morning Baltimore." Like, those are all in the musical as well. So,
well, maybe we will hear some of those songs later on when we talk with some of the young actors and performers.
I think that would be a great idea.
Well, let's take a break now, and we're talking about the Playmakers and the Summer Youth Conservancy production of Hairspray. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about the Playmakers in conjunction with their project, the Summer Youth Conservancy, the upcoming production of Hairspray. And we're privileged to have with us two visiting artists who are supervising this production. And unless you're joining us late, you already met Desmond Ona Chang, who's the director of the production, and Matt Steffens, who's the associate director and also the choreographer of this fantastic, of the dancing, the
yes,
music and everything.
It's a pleasure to be here.
We were talking about the story of the play, and I wonder if you guys could continue talking about it, maybe in that connection introduce us to a couple of your actors.
Absolutely. One of the things that I had mentioned earlier is that this is a story about a young girl who wants to get on the show but fails to do so because she doesn't meet up to certain social standards of beauty and weight. And there's a particular interesting scene, between her and her father. Tracy Turnblad is the character who's being played by Rachel Musson, who's here today with us. And her father is Wilbur Turnblad, played by Ethan Fox, who's also here with us today. And in this particular scene, Tracy and her mother have been talking. Her mother, Edna, who's also a very large woman, is very skeptical about her daughter's abilities to get on the show. But her father is slightly more encouraging. And so we'd like to share with you an excerpt from that scene in the production.
You go for it, babe. This is America. When I was your age, my parents begged me to run away and join the circus. But I said no, that's what you want. I've got a dream of my own. I dreamt of one day opening up a chain of joke shops worldwide. So, okay, I've only got the one. But as soon as I can figure out how to keep the air from leaking out of my silver-sized whoopee cushion, I'm gonna make a noise heard round the world. You follow your dream, baby. Now I'm grabbing an orange crush and heading back down to the Hardy Har Hut. I've got my dream, and I love it.
Thanks, Daddy.
You gotta think big to be big.
All right, that's fantastic. Now, what happens next?
What happens next is that Tracy goes to audition and fails to get on the program. But the day after that, she ends up meeting several kids in detention who are part of a record shop downtown run by Motormouth Maybelle, who's played by Simone Cruz, who's not here today. But her daughter, little Inez, who is a very talented young singer and dancer who also wants to be on the show with Tracy, fails to do so because she is not the right race. At a time during, when segregation was very prominent, you had the white dancing program and a black dancing program. And so part of what's really critical about the show is the process of breaking those social barriers towards a more integrated future. And so, I don't know, is there a scene we can share with Faith and Rachel?
I don't think there's a scene we can share, but I think we can... you really see Tracy's outlook on the world change, and as she goes out into the world to decide that she wants to be on the show, she sings a great song called Good Morning Baltimore, and it's in the beginning of the show, and it really drives us into the show, and you can really see her positive outlook on the world and how she really wants to change the world. She has a really great heart, and it kind of makes us all, you know, want to be a little bit happier about the day when we wake up.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's listen to Rachel sing in the role of Tracy, sing Good Morning Baltimore.
Give me a chance, cause when I start to dance, I'm a movie star. Something inside of me makes me move. When I hear that groove, my ma tells me no, but my feet tell me go. It's like a drummer inside my heart. Don't make me wait one more moment for my life to start. I love you, Baltimore. Every day's like an open door. Every night is a fantasy. Every sound's like a symphony. And I promise.
Man, that was fantastic. I'd almost like to hear that again. Rachel.
Thank you.
What a great song. This is terrific. Now, are all your songs that good?
I hope so.
Or is that the best?
I think there are a couple other good ones in there, but that's definitely a good start to the show. It kicks it off good.
Well, what place does that song have in the story itself? Is that some place where your character is breaking out and
yes.
knowing that she's really good?
It actually starts off the show. There's no lines or anything before it. I wake up in my bed and start singing, and I think it lets the audience come into her world and see how she is as a character, and it just starts off the show really well.
Well, that's great. Where does it go next? What happens with this show, with this story, with Tracy?
Yes. After Good Morning Baltimore, Tracy goes on and she has an audition. I feel like we've already said this. I apologize.
No.
But she does get to meet several other kids in the record shop. And that's where she begins her journey towards the discovery of integration. She realizes that without the ability of these other kids, so in detention, the black kids teach her some new dance moves.
So in this, reminding us about the way things were in the 60s, the dance programs on television weren't desegregated or weren't integrated yet. How about schools? Were the white and black kids going to school together in Baltimore?
They were in the same schools together. As far as we understand, Patterson Park High was an integrated school, but they were in separate classes. And so when Tracy gets sent to detention because her hair is too big, she ends up meeting other students at her school. And in that detention session, they start dancing together. And the next day, the local Corny Collins show, which is the show she wants to get on, pays a visit to her school. And from the dance steps that she learned from the black kids, she was able to impress the show's producer and get on the program.
And in the creation of that scene, we really worked with the kids to all of the actors that we have to really try to create movement that was something that they enjoyed. Not only stayed in the land of the 60s, but was something that really came from them, so that we're collaborating together. Rachel, what is the move that you came up with? What's the name of that one?
We actually ended up calling it Scratch Your Nose.
Why is that?
Because she was scratching her nose one day, and then so we added some dancing to it so she would scratch her nose, and then it kind of became a mannerism that became a dance step.
Well, I tell you what, let's take a break, and let's come back and do some more scenes of the play. Maybe even we can get an idea of how Rachel's contact with some of the black kids worked to move the story along. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about the Playmakers' current production of Hairspray. And it's a wonderful production in large part because we got young actors, vibrant and fresh. And we've learned that they can really do well, and we're going to learn some more right now. The director of the production, Desmona Chang, is here with us, and also Matt Steffens, who's the
associate director and choreographer.
Choreographer.
Yeah.
And y'all have been doing a great job of telling us about this story. And so tell us some more about the story. And we've learned that we've got one aspiring dancer who's just got a little bit too much weight to get on the show, and she's down in the dumps. What happens to her next?
So about halfway through the production, Tracy Turnblad, who's played by Rachel Musson, who's here with us today, goes to the other side of town with her new friends, Seaweed J. Stubbs, and she visits a record shop downtown run by Motormouth Maybelle, who's a local dance host for Negro Day on the Corny Collins show. At the time, dancing was a segregated experience, so you had a TV show for white dancers and a TV show for black dancers. And at that record shop, she meets a whole new group of dancers that she's never encountered before. These are young, talented black dancers with different kinds of moves, moves that are a little more swingin', a little more groovin'. And there she meets a young woman named Little Inez, who's Seaweed's younger sister. And Little Inez, much like Tracy, has also wanted to get on the Corny Collins show, but couldn't do so because she was not the correct race.
And she could go on Negro Day, but
she could go on Negro Day once a month. Uh-huh. That was the allotted time for that exposure, was once a month, and Corny Collins was on every day. So, at the record shop, Tracy and Little Inez re-meet each other, and they realize they both share the same mission in wanting to get onto the show and to go on this path of integration.
Okay, well, so is there a song or something we can hear?
Absolutely, yeah. Faith Jones, who plays Little Inez, is here with us today. And There's a solo she sings and a number called Run and Tell That. And I think she would love to share some of that with you today.
Faith, you want to introduce that song from your standpoint, or you just want to go ahead and sing it and then talk about it?
Let's go ahead and sing it.
All right, here's Faith Jones.
Hey, you're Tracy. You're my favorite dancer on the Corny Collins show.
Sure, I saw you at the auditions.
But you're the only one who did, because they threw me out on my young, gifted black behind. I'm tired of covering up all my pride, so give me 5 on the black hand side. I got a new way of moving and I got my own voice, so how can I help but to shout and rejoice? Oh, the people right here can barely pay their rent. They're trying to make a dollar out of 15 cents, but we got the spirit money just can't buy. As deep as a river and tossed to the sky.
Faith, that's fantastic.
Thank you.
You like that? You must like that song a lot.
I do like that song a lot. It's one of my favorites in the show because the kids kind of get to really expose who they are in their natural setting. So, yeah.
Well, what you've heard your directors, we don't want you to contradict your directors, talk about the story, but from your point of view, where's the story going at this point?
At this point, when you first look at Little Inez and Tracy, they seem to be really different to each other, but they share the same experience, and I think that really kind of pulls them together. And so Little Inez gets her moment to sing about it, and she sings about it, and they all really come together by the end of the scene.
Well, so then what happens next?
Then it gets closer to the end of the first act, and uh-huh. They really do come together, and I don't want to spoil it for anyone, but to see
it. You don't want to, for those who've seen the movie, the Broadway production, the next movie, you know the story.
Well, it's a little different in the play, yeah. So they end up having this protest, and then you really get to see how these two different groups really come together for a common good, even though there's still some people who aren't really for it yet, but they start to move towards getting this dream realized.
All right, well, if y'all aren't going to tell me how it all turns out, I'd like to do, Faith, starting with you, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this Summer Youth Conservancy and what your aspirations are.
All right, well, my name is Faith Jones, and I'm from Durham. I go to Jordan High School. I'm 16 years old, and this is my first time ever doing a summer program. I've been doing theater I've been doing theater for a while, I guess, but I really got into it in this past year, and I did some community productions at Raleigh Little Theater, and this is my first time doing anything in Chapel Hill, so I really enjoyed it, and it's been so different because we rehearse from 10 to 5 Monday through Friday, and then today we're going to start going from 1 to 9, and so it's just going to be more intense, but it's the kind of professional setting that I've been I've been waiting to get here, so I've really been enjoying it to have these intense hours where we're always working and there's always something to do, and it's been a challenge, but it's been a learning
experience. What's the difference between this type of experience and the experience that you've had in community theater in Raleigh and Durham?
Well, luckily it's summertime and we're dealing with kids who are in school, so they have the time to rehearse all day almost. But for community theater, they accommodate people's schedules at any time of the year. So it's often evening rehearsals. And people are sometimes just doing it because it's something cool that they can do in their free time. But with community theater, you work with a lot more adults who have, jobs. So it's been different to do the summer conservatory because we're working with people who are our age and share the same passion. So that's a whole new experience that I've been lucky to have.
Well, we just heard you sing. I mean, it's fantastic.
Thank you.
Where's your background in music? A lot of times you think it starts in the church, and then it starts in a school production, or you just say, I'm sitting at home listening to the music and doing it. And voice lessons, have you got, or is your voice?
Well, I just started voice lessons, a couple months ago, kind of. But I come from a musical family.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
tell us about your family.
Well, my parents met in a band. My mother sings and my dad plays the piano. So okay. It's like, it was kind of like all my siblings sing and do music in many
for
different kinds of ways.
Or your parents have a little professional background in music? Or they?
They've been doing music for years. Like my dad, he's a chorus teacher at Colworth Middle School.
Oh, well.
And so it's just been this thing that like all my two older siblings do music. My sister majored in music. So all of us, you know, crazily want to do this professionally, and we're kind of going into it and taking that leap. So luckily I have a family that really supports that and doesn't think it's too out there and not really reliable.
Tell me about this. I mean, you know, your parents are probably going to be there for that opening night, aren't they?
Yeah.
What I mean, you think they're just going to be blown away, or are they going to come out and say, "Well, that was pretty good"?
Well, I hope they're blown away. I think my mom always says that she was surprised as to how I'm kind of brave enough to go on stage and kind of put myself out there, because when I was younger, I was really quiet and I hated singing in front of anyone, and it took a really long time to kind of get comfortable and sing in front of people. So I think that's what they're surprised from. And yeah, I've just come a long way
to
be here.
Here's do they know what's happening? Do they know how really professional this is going to be? I mean, they've seen you in productions and enjoyed it, as parents will. But I mean, you think this is going to be a little bit different for them?
I think so, because the way that the set is built and the kind of the way that the stage is set up, it's a whole new experience. So it's going to be different from any other production, because everyone has put their heart and soul into this production, and you can see it when it comes on stage.
Well, folks might have joined us late and they don't understand what your connection, you know, as Little Inez is with the other wonderful singer whose voice we heard earlier in the program, Rachel Munson. And Rachel, would you talk to us a little bit about your music background? Where do you live?
I live in Chapel Hill. I went to East Chapel Hill High School. I just graduated, so I'm now heading to college.
And where are you going?
I'm going to Rider University to major in musical theater. It's in New Jersey, for everyone who doesn't know. But actually, I do not have a musical family at all. My parents cannot sing. I started vocal lessons when I was really little. My brother actually got cast in the international tour of The Sound of Music, and after I saw him in that, I was like, I want that to be me. So I followed my dreams and have been training ever since.
Been training, but what about what's your sort of history in productions?
Well, this is my third summer doing Playmakers. I did it actually when I was in middle school, so it's been quite a while since I have done it. This past year, I worked at North Carolina Theater, and I did their show last summer in the Heights. And before that, I worked in theaters in Durham and did shows like Seussical and Cats and Little Women. So,
well, this show requires you're a dancer. You know,
yeah.
You're a dancer, and so did you have to learn dancing, or did you? I mean, how did y'all approach? You were a voice. I mean, you're a vocalist.
Well, I train in dance. I take dance classes. I take dance about four times a week, or I did before summer started.
Wow.
So dancing like comes pretty naturally. It's quite different in this show, although, because it's all 60s moves, which is stuff that I'm very unfamiliar with. So getting the style down was definitely the hard part.
DG, well, the truth nowadays is that, like, if you're going to be a performer in musical theater, especially in a professional setting, you kind of have to be an actor, a singer, and a dancer. I think
have to be all three.
There used to be a period where, like, you could really be one, you know, only be a singer who, like, can't even move, you know. But, like, nowadays, you really have to be able to at least be able to move some, because just casts have been, like, trimmed down over the years, you know. And so we are blessed to have three.
So there are no unions to protect you from doing all three.
There are unions to protect you, but they're going to make you dance and sing.
Well, no, this is fantastic. But now, some people have all three at an excellent high level, but many actors or aspiring actors would be great in one or the other, and then would be okay in the in the other fields, you've got to work with them.
I think that's something we found with the group this year is many of them have strengths in one area. And, you know, part of the great thing about this being a conservatory experience is that we can train them throughout, you know, throughout the day, that we have the hours to drill something over and over so that they really learn, like, what it is, whether it's singing or acting or dancing, you know, that they can learn how to do it as opposed to, like, kind of just mimicking us. So that it's, so it makes them grow as an artist, you know.
Well, we're talking to Matt Steffens, who's the choreographer, who has to take, in some cases, this young talent and not only make them work together, but in some cases provide, I don't want to call it remedial instruction, but to provide some...
I would just say, you know, to provide them training in dance. You know, we warm up every day as a group, and a lot of that is training that, you know, that I go through still myself, you know, when I take classes. It's no different when I take classes opposed to when I give class to them, and they do a great job with it.
Well, I want to talk about that maybe some more in the next session, but while we're talking with the actors, Ethan Fox is... the daddy in this role,
and that's right.
And so you have to dress up like somebody who's almost as old as I, or maybe almost as old as I am, and that presents a challenge for you, doesn't it? What tell us about your role?
Well, I play Wilbur Turnblad, who is Tracy's dad. He's a goofy. He owns a joke shop, and so he's kind of that stereotypical goofy, fun-loving guy. Who wears, like, stripes and plaids and doesn't understand social norms. And he's older, so that's a challenge. So when he, like, sits down, he, like, hurts his back a little bit. Different quirks and things that make it fun to play.
Well, I could help you with some of those moves, I think. But tell us about yourself. Where are you from?
Well, I actually live, like, right down the street.
Is right from the WCHL studios?
Yeah, so you're right off Weaver Dairy.
Is that right? And where'd you go? So East Chapel
Hill
School?
So I went to East Chapel Hill High School. I'm a rising senior.
And what about your experience in community productions and school productions here?
Well, I've done most of my theater at my high school and a little bit at a student-run theater organization called One Song. I think this is my 11th play.
Wow.
But mostly I do straight plays. I just enjoy them a lot more than musicals.
Well, you heard.
No offense.
You heard what they said, though, that an actor has to be able to do all three. Maybe as the old guy, that you might not have to do the 1960s dancing as much as the others.
Well,
he still has to dance.
Yeah, there are some hard parts. I like to think that if I mess up a dance move, it's all good because he's a little older.
And what about the singing? We've heard your two colleagues sing. Are you blown away when you hear these people sing like this?
I'm super intimidated. It's incredible to think that people my age are that good at singing and that talented.
What about your family? Are they interested in the theater? Or you have to buy their own tickets, or will they pay to get in?
Yeah, they're going to buy their tickets. Well, my mom's family, they don't, I'm pretty sure there's no musical or artsy parts to that. My dad doesn't, so my current family doesn't sing at all, but my dad's side of the family is pretty musically talented. Uh-huh. My grandmother was a professional singer, but I don't think any of that got passed down to me.
Well, listen, it's just great. I tell you what, we need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more about the show and talk about the background. If you join us late, we're talking to the cast and to the directors of the Playmakers production of Hairspray. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about and celebrating the Playmakers' current production of Hairspray. It's a special production done in the summer in connection with the Summer Youth Conservancy. And I want to thank especially the actors who've joined us, but we've also had the director of the production, Desdemona Chang, and also the choreographer and associate director, Matt Steffens, and so thanks to both of you all. I mean, you've heard again the enormous talent that you guys are bringing to the stage. Did you know that they were going to be so good on the radio too?
Well, they're great every day in rehearsal. I have to tell you, when we came down to audition in May, I think, We were amazed with all the talent that we saw. Or it was April, I think, maybe.
Yeah, but we saw roughly 60 high school students from all over the area, and it was just astounding, the number of kids who came in who could sing and dance.
But when Rachel and Faith both came in, we were real happy. Because you never know, especially, you know, when you're going to a market that you haven't done casting of a musical in, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, if people joined us late, I want to ask you all, I want you all to talk a little bit more, but at the end, maybe we can get them to sing again.
I think that would probably be a great idea. They're very talented. So.
Well, we've talked about the play, and you all resisted telling us the end of the play and the final points. But what's your sales pitch for this production?
Well, I venture to say that most folks actually do know about Hairspray. Either they've seen the original film, or they've seen a version on Broadway, or a community production, or they've seen the John Travolta movie. My particular sales pitch with this production is that I would love folks to walk away with the understanding that Hairspray is more than what it seems to be. I think so often we get caught up in the singing and the dancing and the celebrating that we overlook the underlying message of social justice and equity. And I feel like anyone who's worked in theater knows what it's like to not be the cool kid. To not be the one.
So it's more than race, or it's more than being.
Yeah, fat. it's about being marginalized.
It's about being a teenager who's just not in sync with what's going on and feeling lonely out there. Is that
right? I think we can all somehow relate to that. Not fitting in, not being the right, normal, not being regular, not being right. And so I think what's great about Hairspray is that it is a story about misfits who become heroes.
So the triumph
end.
Of the misfit.
Triumph exactly. of being who you are also, and not apologizing for it.
And then owning up to who you are and celebrating who you are and coming to, and if they won't give you the community, you build it yourself kind of thing. So if I don't fit in, I'll make it myself.
Well, go ahead.
There's a heart also to the story that Des and I really tried to focus on and make sure drove through the story, as opposed to all the glitz and pink and blue that often is associated with it. I also though want to say that I think at the end of the show you're going to leave in a happier place than when you came in. You'll have really I think thought about the tough social issues of the time and even of now. But I think in the end you're probably going to leave tapping your feet and dancing.
I was going to say you would
hopefully walk away feeling like you can make a difference.
Yeah. Well, it's upbeat, isn't it? I mean, it's a serious message, but we're going to be
it's trying.
We're going to be singing the songs. We're going to be singing the songs. Well, speaking of singing the songs, let's hear some of them again. These wonderful songs that we heard from Faith Jones and Rachel Musson. I want to hear them again. And before we go, thanks so much to all of you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
You go for it, babe. This is America. When I was your age, my parents begged me to run away and join the circus. But I said, no, that's what you want. I've got a dream of my own. I dreamt of one day opening up a chain of joke shops worldwide. So, okay, I've only got the one. But as soon as I can figure out how to keep the air from leaking out of my sofa-sized whoopee cushion, I'm gonna make a noise heard round the world. You follow your dream, baby. Now I'm grabbing an orange crush and heading back down to the Hardy Har Hut. I've got my dream, and I love it.
Thanks, Daddy.
You gotta think big to be big.
Give me a chance, 'cause when I start to dance, I'm a movie star. Something inside of me makes me move. When I hear that groove, my ma tells me no, but my feet tell me go. It's like a drummer inside my heart. Don't make me wait one more moment for my life to start. I love you, Baltimore. Every day's like an open door. Every night is a fantasy. Every sound's like a symphony. And I promise, Baltimore, that someday
you're Tracy. You're my favorite dancer on the Corny Collins show.
Sure, I saw you at the auditions.
But you're the only one who did, because they threw me out on my young, gifted black behind. I'm tired of covering up all my pride. So give me 5 on the black hand side. I got a new way of moving and I got my own voice. So how can I help but to shout and rejoice? Oh, the people right here can barely